Last time we caught up with Jim Jeffries, he generously donated his time to perform at some massive bushfire relief gigs in LA.
The last gig I did was with Whitney Cummings and Joe Rogan.
Wow.
And we raised like $80,000, and then they said, come out and hold the big check. And then Joe Rogan grabs the microphone and goes, and I'm going to double the donation. And me and Whitney were like, ah, that's great. Good for you. Like, I'm standing there going, you know, I'm going to do some other gigs, but I don't have Joe Rogan money.
Please welcome back to the show, live from LA, Jim Jeffries.
Oh, hello there, Jim.
Those fires are still
hello. What a charitable guy I sound like. I assume the fires aren't on because my dad told me his house is okay, so I assume they're all done now.
Yeah, well, they're not all done, but we've had a bit of rain.
The rain has helped.
It's, you know, it's largely good.
My dad's exact words were, the dam is full, so I don't know what everyone's complaining about.
Now, how'd you go? Because your dad, last time we spoke to you, your dad was there and we said g'day to him.
We met him, yeah.
Was that just a casual visit? Was that planned, or did he overstay?
It was a casual visit in the sense that, you know, my mum passed away about 6 months ago, so I told my dad to come out and stay with me, and then he stayed for his entire amount that the Americans will let him stay in the country. You know, he stayed for the full visa. He went to Las Vegas and he went to New Orleans and he got around, and I think he probably went home to Australia when he missed the lack of legalized prostitution.
Jim, I hope he's not listening.
Happened to let it sound like he was on a Contiki tour. He's been to LA, to New Orleans. He's knocking off all the big ones. Oh. But was he on the run? I mean, what happened? It sounds like an O.J. Simpson style chase.
He seemed very gentlemanly to me when I met him.
He's a good old Aussie bloke. How'd he find LA?
No, he liked LA. He got to a stage where he started to know the territory a little bit, you know. Yeah. And he started to wander around every day, and I'd lose him for about 9 hours out of the day. And he'd be, oh, I've been up to that Mexican bakery where they sell the different things, you know. And it was just, he became like a local. And he goes, I know the girls up at the local supermarket now. They like me. They act like they don't like the teasing, but they do. You know, I think he caused the trouble. There's a good chance that I might get me too'd because of my dad.
Is it by proxy?
I'm telling you, I think I may have mentioned this last time, like women would come up and go, oh, can I have a photo? And then he'd go, and then you go, only if I can have a dance with you. I'm like, they didn't ask for a dance.
Hey, now, what's going on? Can I ask a big press conference today? Americans who are always living in some kind of fear, largely. Yeah. They've got onto the coronavirus now, and Trump's had to come out a big time. Mm. What's the vibe on the ground over there in LA? Is everyone wearing face masks? Are people not going out?
Everybody's very super nervous about the coronavirus, and people are wearing the face masks and stuff like that. But my brother reached out to me and said that he goes, flights from Australia are only $900 return. So it turns out Australians are seeing bargains. You know what I mean? I don't think people are truly worried about the coronavirus. Like, more people are dying from the flu. Yeah. You know, like how bad can the coronavirus?
But you know that I've never heard Trump mention Pence so much. You know, this is what you do. He must know something bad's coming because he's put Pence in charge of the whole everything to do with coronavirus. He's running a mile from us, so that's, yeah.
Pence should get rid of the coronavirus the same way he got rid of his homosexuality by praying it away eventually.
Was it very that effective?
Are we allowed to say it on Australian radio? Yeah, yeah, yeah. On America, that's treason to mention that.
Your coronavirus, you're pretty much living life as you do. You haven't changed anything, mate.
I haven't changed anything. I'm still just drinking water out of alleyways. Having sex with random people, you know. I'm still just living my normal life that stopped me from getting the coronavirus. I didn't change anything.
It's what Mike Pence would want. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's what
we've heard some funny audio from Trump. I might play it to you, was the other day trying to pronounce Sachin Tendulkar's name.
This is the country where your people cheer on some of the world's greatest cricket players, from Sachin Tendulkar to Virat Kohli.
I love it, man.
And Lam Korma, the wicket keeper.
Seriously.
Beautiful.
When Trump came into the stadium, there was like 100,000 people.
Crazy Indians.
They the music they played when he came in was Macho Man by the Village People.
A Make America Great Again rally, India style. They even blasted Macho Man before the president took the stage, and when he did, a show of affection for India's prime minister.
Namaste, Trump.
Namaste. Namaste.
There he is. Not being able to remember the name Modi.
That great bit, namaste, is what you say after you finish doing yoga. And the fact that Trump just, namaste. Namaste. I always say that to my girlfriend, like, because I live here in LA, is like, it's like after we have, my son's here, but after we have SEX, afterwards I turn to her and I roll over and I go, Feliz Navidad, which means
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas in Spanish. But I say it like Navista.
That's funny. Good.
Feliz Navidad. Anyway, carry on.
We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to have more with the great
Jim. Well, I
want
to talk about your new show, Jim. You're casting it. Very interesting and excellent choices.
Done.
Jim Jefferies is with us. This is Kennedy Malloy. And live from LA, joining us right now is Jim Jefferies.
Exciting news, Jim. Your sitcom is cast. Have you finally cast it?
We have. We have. Great. We've got the dad in check now. We've got Anthony LaPaglia.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Or LaPaglia. I don't even know how you say his name. He's coming over tomorrow.
I think there's a silent G in there, I think. I'm not sure.
So me and him are going to have a bonding session, a father-son bonding session tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds like a writing session to me. That way. Yeah. Now, can you do me one favour? I love it when sitcoms do a special Down Under episode, and I just reckon you're in the box seat for this. So once you're up and running, like, are you being served Down Under? There was the Love Boat Down Under, Modern Family
did a Down Under.
Simpsons did a Down Under.
Yep.
Could you do it? Could you bring it home? Could you?
My plan for the show is that I'm going to do a lot of to be continued episodes, but we're only ever going to show the first or second halves of different episodes.
So it's
going to feed the hunger for the show because people are going to go, oh, I've missed the other one.
I've got to
get the TiVo up and running.
That's brilliant. Look, it is. You've also got somebody else cast that I'm thrilled with too, which is Betsy Brandt. Who is Betsy Brandt? She's fantastic.
Betsy Brandt's from Breaking Bad and she was on Modern Family. Yep. And she actually, in Modern Family, she played Dan Bacadol's wife, who played my best friend in Legit and everything. Yep. So, you know, it turns out Hollywood's got about four actors and I'm using all of them. You know?
But her comic timing's brilliant. She's great.
Comic timing's very good. And the fact that she's off Breaking Bad. And it's like, I got very excited when I first cast her because I'm like, oh, I'll get to ask her about Breaking Bad. But what is there to know, really? You know, like, I'll be sitting on set where they're going, so Walt got up to no good. What did he do? I'll be like, did you ever take any blue meth home?
Yes. Well, was it right. real? Was there?
I love it a lot. Hey, I had a strange dream last night about you, Jim. I'm sorry to alert you.
He usually says that about me, so this is very
weird. Yeah. We were in America, and someone said, you've got to go to see this Jim Jefferies perform live. So I come in and I sit down, and you come out on stage, and you did a 20-minute advertorial for like the home shopping show for an item, and then I realized I feel I may have fallen asleep in front of the telly while the home shopping show may have been on, but I'm sitting there going, what's he doing? What's happening, Jim?
That's a very strange thing, man, because many years ago when I was living in Britain and I didn't have much money, the guy who ran the home shopping network actually asked me to be the guy on this channel that did all that thing. I was like, I could do that. I could be like, I love how in Australia, they always have like, they bring on a Cockney woman to be on Bert Newton.
Yes.
For some reason, the Australian public, they think if there's a Cockney person going, have you got some problems? Have you got some stains? Have you got some things that need to be removed? Well, this is going to do it. It's going to clean fabrics. It's going to clean leather. It's going to clean that thing. I always thought that, I could do that, man. So that's a real gig.
You are right. We need Michael Caine selling us steak knives over here.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about, the Down Under episode of
there
Jefferies. There you go. When they go, and everybody goes, we'll go down the Frog and Toad, won't we? You know, that's how they do all
this. That episode of The Simpsons where they give him like a giant beer and then like everybody's standing around like thieving, like they're going to pickpocket everything. And that's not accurate. We don't drink dried beers in Australia.
Who's that behind you? We've got you up on Skype. You seem to be...
That's me, little boy.
In the company of a beautiful looking boy. Are you sure that's yours?
You want to say hello?
Hello.
Hi, mate.
Hi.
What's your name?
Hank.
Wink to me if you're in a hostage situation. No, you're looking good.
Yeah,
he's a good-looking rooster there, mate. How old's your boy?
Yeah, how does that work, Jim? I mean...
That one's not mine.
He's a good-looking kid, my God.
He's a loner.
He's got his mother's looks, thank God.
Is he showing any aptitude for comedy?
He is very funny. He knows that it's more important to be funny than good at sport. He's figured that out very... He's very quickly, like, he striked out at baseball the other day and he said to me, he goes, oh, yeah, but none of these other kids can tell a joke, you know.
It's true.
So I...
One day... Well, I just want to say, so, and you're doing the Ace Comedians Tour or something, isn't it, in Las Vegas?
I have a residency in Vegas that I do about four times a year, and it's shared between me, Gabriel Iglesias, Jay Leno, David Spade, Ray Romano, and a few other ones, you know what I mean? So now it's a weird thing, but Jay Leno is the nicest man in comedy, and when my father was out here, he actually brought me and my dad out to see the biggest private car collection of any car collection ever. So we went out to Jay Leno's garage, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's where it is.
And it was just out near Burbank. It's near the private airport. So we just walked around and we looked at all the different cars. And then Jay was like, yeah, it was great to meet you. Great to meet you, Gary. Yeah, like that, right? And so afterwards, we get my car to drive home. And my dad goes, geez, that was an experience you'd never experience anywhere else in the world. That was unbelievable. I said, wasn't that great, Dad? And he pulled out a pad and he goes to me, what's his name again, so I can write it down and tell my friends.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're looking for. There's an episode of your sitcom.
It's written itself.
Good on you, Jim. Thanks for your time again, mate, and we'll speak to you soon.
No worries.
Jim Jefferies.